We're reminded that the beginning of this book of the Galatians tells us the purpose that the Lord had and the purpose that he is writing about is to do something for the believer. And that is a very succinct statement. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. That's the first chapter, verse 4. We know that the churches of Galatia had been impacted by men who said that they believe in Jesus. They were Jews by birth. But they were telling the Gentiles that had trusted in the Lord Jesus that they were going to have to be circumcised and carry on with the Old Testament law in order to really be saved. That's nothing new because men have always been attempting to do something to bring about their own salvation. We are in Galatians chapter 3 and we pick up verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it is yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, Father, we again bow before you, and we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for addressing all of these, every possible defection from the gospel in that first century, writing clearly about it, so that your church could be preserved in the truth generation after generation. So, Father, we bow to receive from your word here today that we need. We thank you for this gospel. Thank you for the privilege of hearing this gospel, that God is justifying sinners, bringing them back into a relationship with yourself. So help us now make your word clear to our hearts. In the power of the Holy Ghost, we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. So the passage that we're studying, particularly verses 6 to 9 this morning, assumes the obvious. Mankind recognizes that there is a deep wrong inside of us. Do I need to emphasize that after what has happened this week? What a terrible tragedy nationwide for someone who disagreed with what someone believes and said to take their life. Something is deeply wrong in the human soul. But we can obviously go out of our way to deny and mask its origins and its repercussions. Humanity has worked very hard to present to itself an explanation for conscience. And when the elimination is delivered, or the explanation is delivered from its original source, the Bible, God, a war of emotions and words fly against both it and the spokesman, again on display. It's not anything new. You and I know that. This very simple statement of the gospel that's found in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. How simple is that gospel? That sounds very simple, but it's very profound in its depth, because it displays to us that you cannot save yourself. And a church cannot save you. You are shut up to the work of one man. That man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. The words that we have here in the book of Galatians and in our passage, God, faith, righteousness, justify, or meaning justification, they all address the unspoken reality of a holy God and a sinful man who are estranged from one another. And we can be reconciled. God, faith, righteousness, justification, they all speak to the division, but they all speak to how we can be brought back together. It does not talk about the holiness of God here. It implies it. There's, because of the depth of the depravity that we recognize in ourselves, we know there has to be one who is not like us. But how? How can we be reconciled? The Galatian churches were being seduced into apostasy by relinquishing faith. They were exchanging faith for works, grace for law. God had been faithful and supplied their faith, and the gift of the Holy Spirit had been evidenced in them, because the scripture says here in verse 5, notice verse 5, it says, "He therefore that minister to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Two things can be drawn from that verse of scripture. Last week we looked at that verse in the sense of the history of it, how that the apostle Paul and Barnabas at that point on that first missionary journey brought them into the area of Galatia, where these churches and many more after were established. And you remember that by simply the preaching of Jesus Christ, there was a lame man who heard about Jesus. And hearing something in that man's countenance, immediately embraced the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Paul recognized, here's a man lame, he could not walk. And he's told the man to get up. And he got up. There in Acts chapter 14, describing that unique and special moment. Well, God was at work. That was miraculous. The point that he is bringing to the Galatians, who are now embracing what these men, we call them Judaizers, who are wanting to make the Gentiles that had received the gospel, turn them into believing Jews. What God was doing in your midst, he's saying, did he do it? And was that ongoing work of God's grace being done in your lives By that of the law or by faith in Christ? And by the way, the Greek language here is implying it's the continuing present tense. So in other words, when Paul is writing this, they are recognizing that God is saving and changing the lives of individuals, of lost sinners, in these churches. And how are they being saved? They're being saved by hearing the grace of God and by believing, not by being circumcised and not by going back into the Old Testament law. So this morning we're picking up at verse 6. And here we want to see salvation's principle, example. So we've just read to you verse 5. We've set the stage here. God is working. Souls are being saved. What works that of grace and miracle that might be taking place in the churches, he doesn't go into define. But it is evident that God, in his power, is working in those churches, and then he launches immediately into and uses the words, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The Apostle Paul is drawing a connection here of how the grace of God had come into the Galatian churches, how God had saved them, how God had changed them. And he's connecting it with the Old Testament person of Abraham, even as. So he had been asking questions. We've read those questions in the first few verses here of chapter 3. But he doesn't even give them an opportunity to answer, does he? He asks a question, because the question is so, the answer to the question is so very obvious that nothing of the law had transformed them, that it was the preaching of Christ, his cross, and the grace of God that they had by faith believed. And he says, you can go back to the Old Testament. Galatian churches, do you want to know where this began? Do you want to know how God has always worked? We remember from the book of Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Salvation's principal example, but now you remember, God had already given faith before Abraham. Hebrews will also remind us that it was by faith Abel offered a better sacrifice. By faith, Noah had built an ark, even though the language is not used. The terms faith, in fact, well, let me just ask you to turn. Hold your place here in Galatians, and I want you to turn to the book of Genesis, and Genesis chapter 12. Better yet, I'm going to start with chapter 15. Turn over a couple more pages. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. That's significant. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham. In a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, here again, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now remember, the emphasis is being made here. The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. The word of the Lord is speaking here. And it says, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6 is the connecting verse that Paul is using in Galatians. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. All right, the first thing that we recognize here is what I've been emphasizing in the reading. The Word of God came. How does faith come? You've got Romans 10, 17 memorized, don't you? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So to the simple promise that God gave to Abram, a promise given long before circumcision, because it would not be until Ishmael is born before circumcision would come. And it would be 430 years before the law would come. And the Bible makes it very clear. And here, for the first time in your Bible, we have three words that are connected and are the essence of the gospel. Three words that are found here in Genesis chapter 15. They is the first time that these words are found in our Bible. It is the word believed. It is the word counted. And it is the word righteousness. Abraham believed the word of God. He believed that God was able to do what God said he would do. And you and I know that years would go by before God gives to him Isaac. Ishmael was not going to be the seed, because that was by human means. God was going to give a supernatural birth in the giving of Isaac. So, how are men going to be saved? They'll always be saved by God bringing them to faith. And the Old Testament scriptures, we see man, woman, one after another in the Old Testament, exercising faith in the Word of God. And we also find unbelief on display, Old Testament and New, found and recorded in the Word of God. But how can we be reconciled to God? The emphasis that the Apostle Paul is making here, it is not by means of the New Testament church. The New Testament church holds that gospel in trust, preaches that gospel in faith, sends out missionaries by faith, because we believe the Word of God. And so Abraham believed the Word of God. And out of that, God counted or accounted or reckoned. It means something that was not original or natural to him. Do you understand that? If something is reckoned to you, if something is counted to you, it's something you did not have. It wasn't in your possession. You didn't have it by nature. It's something that is imparted to you, something that is given to you. And so, Abram believed that promise that God had made. And God counted, God reckoned, God accounted that to him for righteousness. Now don't misunderstand. Don't misunderstand. This faith, this righteousness given is not in lieu of that faith. Because it is all of grace. It cannot be of any merit. Your faith did not win that righteousness. It has been imparted to you. Abraham believed the word of God, and it was reckoned. It was something that was not original or natural to him. And what was he given? Righteousness. In other words, the relationship that is naturally severed in Adam and Eve has now been brought back together by faith. He believed the word of God. God accounted it to him as an imputed righteousness, not his own, supplied to him by God's grace. And so, coming back now here to the book of Galatians, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The point that he's making to the Galatian churches, he would not only make this here, he would use the same picture in Romans chapter 4, where he would speak about Abraham. He did not stagger. He did not waver at the promises of God, but was strong in faith. So, if we're understanding that this was accounted to him, the very fact that Abraham, in all of those years after that God had sent him out to look at the stars and promised him a posterity in that kind of number, God imputed to him that righteousness, and that righteousness began to display itself in that life that Abraham would live. So righteousness imputed, something that was not his. He didn't have it. It wasn't natural to him. It was imparted to him. And then he began to display and live out what God had imparted to him. James would make that same case, but we'll look at James here another morning. Salvation's principal example is this of Abraham. But we want to consider also now salvation's principal offspring. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, why is that significant here to the Galatian churches? Remember, Paul is dealing with these men that are subverting the gospel, twisting the gospel, in that they are demanding that these Gentiles be, the men become circumcised, and they begin to accept and obey the Old Testament law. They are presenting themselves as the true children of Abraham. And so there, the true children of Abraham are men that are circumcised, and they are those that follow the Old Testament law. So that's how they are parading themselves. But the Apostle Paul is reminding them, because Abraham was a Gentile. He was just one called out that would become the nation of Israel, that would produce the Jewish people. But he was just like every other pagan on the face of the earth in that day and time. And what and how is Abraham, how does he have true children? So he says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, they, the same, are the children of Abraham. So he's not talking about that by blood. And do we not remember John chapter 1? But as many as received him, the Lord Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. How were they to become the sons of God? Well, it would not be by blood, not by the works of the flesh, not by the will of man, but by God. It was God who drew Abraham to himself. It was God who gave him this promise. It was God who gave to him the faith to believe that promise. And then Abraham worked out that righteousness that had been imputed to him. Salvation's principal offspring is, as the apostle says here in verse 7, no. Now, there's two different ideas with the word no. Well, the one would be simply knowledge, wouldn't it be? No. Or it is the idea of perceive or understand. So he's saying to the Galatian churches, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him to righteousness, perceive you? Do you not recognize? Can you not understand, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And so he's letting them know, you don't become the children of Abraham because you become circumcised or obey the law. He's saying to them, you are now the children of Abraham. You are just like him. God came to you by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And you are now his sons and daughters. What impact does that have on you? You that have been saved by God's grace. Can you realize this? Can you receive this too? What is the practical benefit for us today, right now, in our moment? Well, I can say to you, do you not perceive that the God that worked grace in your heart, who made you to see yourself as sinful and lost and hopeless? Let me ask you this. What did you do to merit God's forgiveness? Zero. Absolutely nothing. Except you believed the word of God. You believed the preacher. Whether it was your mom or your dad, or your Sunday school teacher, or an evangelist, or whoever it may have been, you heard the gospel that Jesus Christ had died on Calvary's cross, that he had paid your debt. Somehow, whatever age you were, somehow that rang true to your ear. And there may have been plenty of others around you, other young people or adults that heard that, and it rolled right off of them, and it made no sense whatsoever, and they didn't respond to it. They weren't interested in it, but somehow you were. Well, what is the explanation of that? Were you smarter than all the rest of those? Absolutely not. You were dead in your trespasses and sins just like them. And you hath he quickened. So the salvation's principal offspring are those who by faith have believed in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We perceive that we're not made just before God by something we've done. God has imparted to us. And so our church here, we took the name Grace Fellowship Baptist Church out of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So this is great encouragement to us. God has saved us, and he has saved us, and we are The same, verse 7 says, the same. Meaning these and no other. May I read it in that way? Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that is they and they alone, who are only the children of Abraham, which makes us also children of God. How does that impact us today? Why? We can get on our face before God and pray. We know we have a Heavenly Father. We can testify of the grace of God to those around us because we know, we perceive that God has done that work in us. Righteousness has been imputed to us. We accept it by the Word of God. And faith has made that real. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit has given peace to our hearts because we know, as Romans 5:1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Salvation's principal offspring are those that are just like Abraham who believed God. We are the legitimate children of God. So what is salvation's principal plan? Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You remember there in chapter 12 of Genesis, that is where God promises to Abram that in him all families of the world would be blessed. What a missionary text. What encouragement. The missionary can go into every land with the expectation, yes, it would be related later in chapter 18, speaking of the nations, when God came and that conversation that goes on between the Lord as he comes to Abraham to tell him about what he's going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, I know Abraham. He's going to care for his family and he's going to be the father of many nations. So it went from families to nations. We recognize that we are to go in to give the gospel to every creature. And in him, in that faith, by Abraham believing God, he would be the one through whom the Messiah would come. And so the gospel came to Abraham and preached to him that gospel that would come, that one that would come by him. And so our Lord Jesus is, by virtue of Mary, who brought forth our Lord Jesus, the God-man, salvation's principal plan, and the argument here is now strengthened. So when he says in verse 8, and, he is strengthening. We could have said, it could have been translated furthermore or moreover. So know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Moreover, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. It is God that would justify. And so there in the present tense, God is doing a work to bring about the justification of sinners. The argument is strengthened here as he writes to the Galatian churches. You are the recipient of your salvation. You're not a participant in the salvation of your own soul. That's grace. That's unmerited favor. And here you that have been saved by God's grace, you are in this standing with Abraham by faith. The enemy wants to come in, and there have been many that have tried to insert some works of the law, either to justify us or to maintain or sustain our sanctification. Everything is by the grace of God, plus nothing, minus nothing. How wonderful that God would send the gospel to us, this great grace that God has given. Hold your place here in Galatians. I want you to turn back for reference to the book of Romans chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul is essentially writing, but in a far more precise, Galatians is more an overview, whereas Romans gives a much more detailed, is the right word here, understanding of the gospel for us. First of all, here in Romans chapter 3, we remind us ourselves here of the condition of our soul, verses 9 to 12. What then? Are we Jews better than they, the Gentiles? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And then the further description that calls out verses out of the Psalms presents us in the most awful, depraved condition. And reminds us as he comes to conclusion in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, which without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. It is in the human nature to want to fall back to some work, something that you can do to appease God or make God look kindly upon you. That will not work. God will not receive us except in Jesus Christ and in that cross. We come by the way of the cross. We come by the way of His blood. We come by His work and His work alone. The cross in itself tells us you, nor church, nor baptism, nor money, you must receive Jesus Christ. You must believe in Him. And so here in Romans chapter 3, verse 29, I read to you, is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. So the circumcision had the law. They did have the oracles of God, and God would bring them to faith by those oracles, by that truth of the Old Testament law. However, for us, we didn't have that same standing with God. We didn't have that background. And so the gospel came to us, pagans though we were, and by that gospel, Jesus Christ saved us. His righteousness has been imputed to us, and we stand in faith. Come back here now to the book of Galatians. We rejoice in this wonderful passage that this gospel was preached to Abraham. How much he fully understood, I don't know. But clearly when the Lord said, by you, the means of you is going to be the blessing of every family every nation. And so the gospel today is going out. Missionaries are serving. We ourselves continue to preach. Abraham could see that. And you remember that the Lord Jesus even referenced this, didn't he, there in the Gospel of John. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. What is the conclusion? Verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. He's saying to the Galatian churches, as he says to us today, you and I have received the blessed salvation that God had promised to Abraham. Abraham had believed it by faith. And you and I have by faith believed in what Christ did on Calvary's cross. How simple is that salvation? How wonderful. And yet men are just determined to find something in themselves that commends them to God. No. We rest in Christ, who gave himself for our sins, as he began the letter telling us, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. The value of this is that God empowers you that have been saved by his grace to testify of the righteousness that you have never earned nor could earn. The good works that you may do today have not added one iota to the righteousness that's been imputed to you, which was the righteousness of Christ. It's all of grace. It's all of his mercy. So, he sends us out into this world to give testimony to this grace and to this faith that sinners can hear, and they can be blessed by faith to believe the gospel. Hallelujah for this gospel that came to save me and to save you. Jesus Christ met us. Just as God called Abram out and gave him promises, and he believed them. We add nothing to the work of Christ. To do so is to apostatize from the truth. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for having saved us by your grace. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this righteousness that has been given to us. We did not have the faith to believe this story. As the scripture says, there was none that understood. There's none that sought after you. We did not believe. And so I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this gospel. And how that in hearing this gospel, you in your mercy sought me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, out of your own lips you said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, I ask you for the believers here today, these that are not resting in their church or their works, but only in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the man who never sinned, and yet the man who bore all our sins, was raised for our justification. We want to thank you, Lord, for this salvation that you've given and for the faith you've given to us to believe every word of God. From cover to cover, the book is true. Thank you for this grace. Lord, would you help us in our witness to testify of this mercy, of this gospel that God had spoken of long before the Lord Jesus came and made it clear that the just shall live by faith. Bless us and send us out. Give us great courage to tell the simple story, Jesus saves. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 441 in your hymnal. I hope that this is your testimony here today. If not, the third verse says, souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. Stand with me as we sing. We'll sing all three verses of Love Lifted Me, hymn number 441. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the Master of the sea, billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Amen? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for that love. Love. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for your work in our souls. Oh, send us out. Hearts filled with love to you. Love to these who are so estranged from you. So angry at you, whose hearts can be changed by the power of the living God. Thank you for this grace. Help us this day. Bless your word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.